We thank you for joining us this morning. This morning, we come together, and as you've heard, the songs we sing about the Holy Spirit, something that in some ways we kind of neglect. But today we come together and celebrate Pentecost Sunday, the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Now some will say that that's when the Holy Spirit came, but actually our text for today kind of tells us something different. And actually reading through even our earlier scripture reading, our first one, we find out that God would give His Holy Spirit even before that day. But what we really celebrate today is the giving of the Holy Spirit to all men, as we heard earlier. In our text today, we will find out that Jesus comes and gives His Spirit in the same way that God gave Spirit or gave life to Adam. And we will see that He also gives us power with that Spirit. A power that's much greater than miracles. One in which we can tell people that they are forgiven in Jesus' name and shed blood. And because we too have been forgiven in this name and shed blood, I can bring you greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 19 through 23. And I would ask, as you are able, to please stand for the reading of the Gospel. Reading in Jesus' name. Then, the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus, and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. And then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them, and said unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Amen. Please be seated. Our text starts out really with the gospel writer telling us exactly when this text takes place. The evening. And therefore it was evening on that first day, the day of the week, and the doors were shut, and the disciples were afraid of the Jews. Jesus came and stood in their midst and said unto them, Peace be unto you. The disciples were locked into a room the Sunday after Jesus had been crucified, and they're scared. We kind of look at the disciples as a rather bold group, and they will become that. But right now, they are sitting in a room, locked, afraid that the Jews are going to come for them and treat them in the same way that they treated Jesus Christ. But the lock has no power over a risen Lord. And he came and he stood in their midst. Jesus really shows his power over the physical world now. Before his resurrection, in most cases, he operated by the physical rules of this world. Now, there are certain miracles that he did, there's no doubt, where he showed his power. But here, he shows up in the midst of a locked door, a locked room. There's no way to enter. And he shows the power that he has as God to appear despite all obstacles. And he comes to his disciples with these words. peace to you. Peace be unto you. Whatever you want to translate that, but he comes not as someone who is scared or who is upset, but rather someone who wants to show his love. Now, if you think about this, if you're already frightened, and then basically what you see is someone whom you know to be dead show up in a room where you're locked in there, most of us would be absolutely petrified. Because what would that be? In our minds, that would be a ghost. Now, this is scary. It is frightening. But Jesus, again, we see, does not want his presence to be scary. Peace be on you. Again, this same message that seems to come throughout the New Testament. God does not want us to be afraid. And we are certainly not supposed to be afraid of Jesus Christ. And the other thing that we see here is Jesus does not attack them. Now these are guys that were supposed to be his followers. They were supposed to know that he was going to be killed. They were supposed to know and have enough faith that he was going to be raised again from the dead. They don't. But Jesus does not hold that against them. He tries to calm them. And then he goes on to demonstrate who he is. And when he had said this, he showed them both his hands and his side. And the disciples therefore rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Notice how Jesus treats his disciples. He gives them everything that they need so that they can believe it is him standing in front of them. He gives them the demonstration of his hands and the spear hole in his side so that they can understand that it is him in the flesh and that they will hear him. You know, we come back to that story of Thomas. But they get everything that Thomas asks for. Jesus does it for them right away. And then he goes on, after he has demonstrated who he is, to say, peace be on you. And that sounds wonderful. But then we get the second half of the verse. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. Now, I talked about this in Sunday school today. And I asked the question, well, what happened to Jesus? And one of the kids came up with, he was assassinated. Now, when you think about that, you kind of chuckle, but really, that's what happened. For political gain, and to make sure that this big leader of the masses wasn't going to get too far, they put him to death. By all accounts, in our vernacular and in the world today, he was assassinated. He was killed. Now, his disciples were supposed to have known this. Jesus told them many times that he was going to die. And that the third day he would be raised. They didn't get it. And now they're starting to get it. And so, when he tells them this, as the Father sent me, so I send you, this seems like a pretty scary deal. God sent his Son to earth. And the fulfillment of His mission here on earth was to allow Himself to be ridiculed, to be rejected, and then to be nailed to the cross to die for our sin. And now, as He's been raised from the dead, Jesus says this to His disciples: "As the Father sent me, so I send you." How many of us want to rush out to our death? How many of us in this flesh are willing to die that others could be saved? Not many of us. Especially for those complete strangers or those people who are our enemies. But the interesting part about this whole text is He doesn't leave them alone. He gives them something that's much more powerful than anything that we could come up with on our own, so that we can be sent out. And when He had said this, He breathed on them and said to them, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." You see, God has called us to a tremendous mission. He has called us to go out into the world and to spread His love and His gospel. And sometimes we may even face death. Now, us in this country, we really don't. But I know guys and have met guys that every day of their lives is spent looking over their shoulder of when it's going to happen, not if it's going to happen. People from other countries have that expectation that it could happen at any moment in time. And yet, they still spread the gospel. All they'd have to do is shut up and be quiet. But they don't. Because they have something living and alive in them that is much more powerful than what any man can do to any one of us. They have the Holy Spirit. That same Spirit that God breathed on Adam to give him life has now been breathed on mankind so that we can have life. And we heard this from our scripture reading, verse 17 of Acts chapter 2. "And it came to pass in the last days, God said, I will pour my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young man shall see vision, and your old man shall dream dreams." All flesh has been given the Holy Spirit. And our jobs as people who have received that Spirit and have received the gospel is to go out and to spread this message and to tell them exactly what Jesus has said here, that you have the Holy Spirit, and then to bring that message. If you forgive the sins of any, their sins have been forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, then they have been retained. We proclaim the gospel freely. We go and tell the world that their sins have been forgiven. This is our calling. Our calling is to spread the love of Jesus Christ. As the Father sent Him, so I send you. Who did Jesus withhold forgiveness from? I can think of one group. Those who thought they didn't need it. those who thought they were righteous enough by their own actions, their own thoughts, and their own abilities that they didn't need a Savior. To everyone else, He went and told them that you were forgiven. To the woman at the well, to the woman caught in the very act of adultery, to the tax collectors, to the drunkards, all those people who were sinners, to all of us who understand that we too are sinners. Believe your sin forgiven in the name and shed blood of Jesus Christ. And in order to help you believe that message, He has given you the Holy Spirit. And not only to help you believe it, and to help you to know, but that you can now go out and share it. That you now can go out into this world unafraid of what they can do to you. As the disciples went out unafraid. You can go out and you can spread this message of forgiveness to people who need to hear it. And not have to worry. Because we know then that our home isn't here. That God has prepared another place for us. And that this body of flesh will die. But that we will live forever in the person of Jesus Christ. And this is the ultimate power. We want to try to change the world by rules and regulations. By making people act in a certain way. That is not how the world is changed. That's not how the disciples absolutely altered the face of the known world. They went out and told people about God. Told people about what God had done for them. And told people about the person of Jesus Christ. And that He died for their sins. And that's what changes the world. Not a list of do's and don'ts. But rather, the message of forgiveness by the blood of Jesus Christ. And this is the ultimate power that we have in this world. Because it is the one thing that changes people. Because it is the one thing that makes us realize that it doesn't matter what we've committed in the past, or even for that matter, what sins we commit or are going to commit in the future. Jesus Christ has shed His blood to wash away the sin of the world. All of it. And so we can go out with love and forgiveness and gentleness and self-control, all those things that are fruits of this Spirit, and spread this gospel message. That's what the disciples did. And that's our calling. Receive ye the Holy Spirit. You have new life breathed into you by the person of Jesus Christ. Amen.